Yes. Yes. Amen. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. It's not just hey, I got this. God help me. You know, people, they can do that all the time. If they worship Baal, help me. It's like, no. This isn't just any old God. This is the Creator. This is the sovereign God. He made the heavens and the earth. So, the qualifications, you're exactly right. When we pray to God, you can pray in assurance. It's not just you're saying this phrase and hoping. You're praying knowing who you're praying to. He is fully qualified. He is powerful. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even just bouncing off of that, Roger, he's saying, I lift up my eyes, and then it's, where does my help come from? My help. So yes, it's very personal. So good. Let's keep going. We're going to build off of these thoughts. This is exactly what we want to do. Verse 3 and 4. What word or phrase do we see paired together? All right. Yes, we got slumber and sleep. You could also use, again, the keeps. Who keeps and who keeps? And so you see those, that it's going to pair them together, that he's going to keep you. All right, 5 and 6. This one might be a little bit harder because we don't have a repeat of a specific word. What can you see what would pair these together, a theme or something that often would go together? Think of nature in this case. Sun and shade. There you go. All right. The Lord is your shade, and the sun shall not strike you. And so you see how those pair together. The sun's not going to strike you because God is your shade. And then in verse 7 and 8, we come back to another word, and this time again, it's keep. He will keep you. We see that. So these pair these together, and so if you notice here in the ESV, they're in sets of two. It's showing you the poetry and the beauty of this. It directs our thoughts and our attention as we flow through here. But there's also these ideas of completeness. Notice with me in verse number 2, okay? As we look, he's saying, he's looking to the hills. And then he has really directed his attention to beyond the hills, to the completeness of God and his power. How do we see that the Creator has complete power and authority? Yes, okay. He made heaven and earth. So he made everything there is, and so there's completeness, okay? I'm going to try this one a little different here. Let's do purple. I'm just going to put an X by it. All right. He made heaven and earth. Look at verse number 4. Okay. How do we see completeness again? He doesn't slumber or sleep. Now, this one isn't a merism like we saw in verse 2. The neither slumber nor sleep is repetitive, meaning it's unceasing. He never stops sleeping. He'll never slumber. It'll always be awake and alert, and so there's completeness. Verse number 6. Mike, I'm going to let you do this one. Where do we see how do we see completeness in verse number 6? Let me give you a clue. You've already asked me this question. Yeah, so in verse number 6, you have the sun, which would be daytime, and the moon by night and night. All right, so what we're having there is, again, it's showing completeness. Okay, God, he's going to keep you. He's going to protect you day and night. He's going to protect you whether it's by the sun or by the moon. Who's that? Wherever you're being attacked, if you're being attacked at night by the sun or by day by the sun or at night by the moon, God protects you. So the reason I believe it's there is to show the completeness of God keeping you, the completeness of his shade and protection. Yes. Yes. So it's a picture of completeness. This is poetry, so it's getting this image across for us. And then verse number 8, we see it one more time, this image of completeness. How do we see it? Going in and going out, okay? So we see it. You could also say this time forth and forevermore. Both of those would work. And so we get this complete thought or phrases. So as we've just looked, these were just getting our thoughts, getting the things that stick out to us. Now let's go and try to understand this passage. If we would say, what is the theme of this? What is being communicated to us? After just doing all of our initial observations, what is it that's trying to be communicated? Okay, yeah. Complete everlasting help. He's trustworthy. He's a guardian. He's a protector. And so that's the ideas we're getting here. So let me help to see if we can understand this, all right? If you don't mind, what I'm going to do, is it okay if I clear this? All right, I'm going to clear this page for my sake so I can help read it a little more, all right? So let's begin in verse 1 and 2. It begins in verse 1 and 2 with a traveler, okay? And a traveler who's affirming his trust. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, we don't understand or know the significance of the hills. Some have wondered and said, this is the hills where Zion is. And so they're traveling there and says, okay, there's some difficulty on the road to get there. Others have said, you know, these hills, or maybe your translation says mountains, these hills are mountains. It's in the plural. These perhaps could be where the gods, the false gods of the Canaanites were. If you ever heard in Scripture, it says, tear down the gods and the temples where? In the high places. So it could be, in reference, he's saying, I look up to those high places and go, is this where my help comes from? No, it's not here. My help comes from God. So that's a possibility. It could also be somebody who's in that dark valley. They're facing great difficulties. They're looking up to the hills and saying, where's the help coming from? When will my fellow Jews, my fellow Israelites, are they going to ever come over that hill, over those mountains, and provide protection? I could just picture Lord of the Rings, where they're told at sunlight, look up on the hill and just be waiting. And so there's that idea. Nobody really knows, but here's what we do see. I don't believe what the hills is the point. Now, I don't believe that's what he's trying to get at. That isn't the point. The point is being, when we are in danger, we typically look up for help. And so this one, they're looking up to the hills, and the speaker, he's drawing attention. Where does, when you're looking for help, where does it come from? And notice this, and this is what I love, and we have it right. The emphasis on he is the creator. the one who made everything. He is the sovereign God. He's over all. It highlights his greatness, and it highlights his power as the grounds of trust. I believe that's what Jeff was saying. You know, that's the basis for the trust. But also notice this, okay? At first, when he's saying here, I'm looking to the hills, my eyes are to the hills, and I have troubles. But where does my God come from? I have a God who is past the hills. I have a God who made the heaven and the earth. It's saying, you're looking even farther. If you're only looking at the hills, you're not looking far enough. Look past the hills and see the Creator, the one who made those hills, the one who made everything. Thus, the Creator, this sovereign God who is over all of this, is the keeper. He is the helper. And so by seeing his greatness and his goodness, you need not worry. Isn't that a wonderful picture? And so this is really what he's saying. Okay, he affirms it. And these last verses then are just going to agree with what the first speaker said by showing the completeness, showing this even further. So let's keep looking, all right? Let's start breaking down the rest of this. Verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Now, I love this. I wrote down in my notes that these two verses show that his protection, his care, his keeping you is even to the minuteness of life. Look at this. When it says, he will not let your foot be moved. You're telling me the God who made the heavens and the earth cares about my foot? My foot's nothing special, guys. It's size 12 shoes. Not the best looking of feet. And God cares about my foot. He cares every step my foot is taking. He will not let my foot be moved. I love that because it tells me that even in the little things, God never ceases to care. God is involved in my very life, even on the little things. Please do.
God doesn't want that. What you're doing, you're destroying what God has created. And I don't think we as Christians should.
I think you're making a good point in, you know, if God cares about our foot, he cares about everything we do. Yeah. He cares where our eyes look. He cares where we're going. He cares what we're doing. That's a great point. He cares. I like the little, there's a song we used to sing as a kid. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. But you know, it doesn't just stay there. Be careful, little hands, what you do, feet, where you go. I think there's more to it, but God cares what we're doing. Good.
Covenant keeping is keeping you with salvation.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, Jeff. We asked that question, what is he doing here? What is he protecting us? Because even look at that question. It says, he will not let your feet be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Skip even down for a second to verse number 7. The Lord will keep you from all evil. And so that's the question is, wait a second, what does that mean? What is he keeping me from? Now, some have likened this and said there's a lot of similarities between this and Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is a messianic psalm. And so it could be looking towards salvation, like you asked. He's going to protect you. Others have said this is the language of the kings. And you can notice a couple things here. A lot of the Psalms would have a king in mind. And the king of Israel was promised God's protection, God's presence. If you even saw in verse number 8, it says, you're going out and you're coming in. Can you think of how does that relate to kings? Battle, to war. All right. And that phrase was almost always used in reference to kings and going out to war. So some have said, okay, this is talking about a king, that God's going to be with them. I think it's a little more. I think the more likely answer here is that we're looking at like a Romans chapter 8 type ideal, okay? If you think about this, in Romans chapter 8, we have this that even in the bad things, God's doing what? He's working things for your good, all right? Your sanctification, your growth. At Hebrews 11 and 12, if you think about it, in Hebrews chapter 11, you have all of these saints in the Old Testament, and they had some hard lives, didn't they? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you have Daniel, you have all these people, and some of them died not receiving the promise. And then chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us, as you're running the race, throw off all the sin that so easily entangles you, and what? Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I believe it's saying, Jeff here, is that even in these hard times, as he's keeping your feet, he's keeping, he's not going to slumber, he's going to keep Israel, he's saying even in hard times, God is going to use these for good in your life. So his keeping here is that he's going to stay involved, that you can trust what he's doing in your life is good. So yes, that would certainly reference salvation, but I think it's more than just salvation. It's your life. That what he's doing by you is good and right and for your best. He doesn't leave you. He protects you. He keeps his promises. He is faithful. I hope that kind of answered your question. Maybe I confused it a little more. You have a thought there, Mike? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not just protects, but he protects his own by purging it of sin.
Mm-hmm.
As he does in our life to correct sin in our life. He chastens us when we need to chasten, just like he kept Israel pure.
Right. So. Yeah, in verse number 4, that would be that covenant keeping aspect. You know, he kept them, he was faithful to them. But you're right, even on the purging, if you think about like a surgeon, Jason isn't here, a doctor, but you know, I had this image of my head and like a surgeon. A surgeon goes in there, they're going to cut you open, they're going to sew you back together, and after it's all done, don't you hurt? Aren't you in some pain? I tell you what, I haven't had anything major, but I tell you, that hurts. It's painful. But yet, does that surgeon, I believe they feel no guilt because what they did for you was good. It wasn't hurting you. It was doing good for you. And so when we read this, we don't think, okay, when it says he's not going to let your foot be moved, that he doesn't slumber, he's not going to allow evil. It's not that God isn't involved. It's showing us that this sovereign God is always going to do right by you. He's always protecting you. He's always caring for you. He was always there for Israel. And so in that relationship, here's a trustworthy God. Jeff, if I didn't answer your question, I'm sorry. I might have gone a roundabout way. let's keep going. Don't lose sight that God always does what is good in your life, even if you don't know or understand. 5 and 6, God protects you. We see from the natural elements and the physical elements, okay? He's protecting you from everything. So the physical was in verse 3 and 4. Now we get the natural he protects you from. I like this image. He is both over you and he is beside you. He is your shade. as well as he's the one who is right there on your side so nothing can strike you. He's over you. He's beside you. Day and night, he's ever vigilant. He's always there. Verse 7 and 8, and his care will continue forever. Notice it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil for how long? For all your life. Whenever you're going in or you're going out, from this time forth and forevermore. Think about this. If you're going in on the journey or you're going out, if you're departing or returning, he's there protecting you. He's there above you. He's there beside you. Nothing can hurt you. The idiom, from this time forth and forevermore, it's an idiom which means all of life. From then and forever, it never stops. For all of life, he is there keeping you and protecting you. So it's from that moment, and it doesn't end. God's protective care then is all-encompassing. It is never-ending. So he's protecting now, and he'll protect us for all of eternity. Isn't that a wonderful picture? It should be an encouraging thought. Let's look at application then. As we look at here, what do we take from this? Any thoughts? What would you take from this passage then in your own life? Were you saying something? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, he's always there with us. You're right. Others? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Like, for God, it's never a small thing. You can ask him, you can go to him with anything. He never tires of us coming. That's one of the things I really get out of this. He doesn't grow tired. I tell you what, I get tired of my kids sometimes. Dad, like, come on, let me sit down for a few minutes. I just walked in the door. That's not God, is it? Even the small things. He never tires. He never slumbers. That was a joke. I'm never like that with my kids, by the way. How about, this one I pulled from somewhere else, said anxieties come when we lose sight of the greatness and goodness of our God. It went all the way back to, he's the creator. Don't forget that. It's so easy. We worry. We're concerned about stuff. And he's saying, wait a second. My help comes from the God who created everything. Like, what is there to fear? We can't lose sight on who God is. We're not just praying to a name. We're praying to God, the creator, who never leaves you, who's always there protecting you, who never goes tired. He is the keeper. He is the sustainer. He is the covenant God. So here's the question for us. Where are you going for help when you need it? I can't answer that for you. Or are you going to help when you need it? Please do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And even it tells us that he, with his promise, you can look to Israel and say, look, he kept all of his word for them. He promised the Messiah. A lot of the Psalms point us to the Messiah. He promised that he would bring them back out of exile. He's going to restore them. And so this is the same God we're praying to, is this God who keeps his promises. And so, yes, it's not just the individual. It's a greater group. It was the whole nation there. Amen.
Something we saw in some of the other studies that we did.
Yes.
That we don't see in this, but because we study others, we can look at it. It's like, what does God get out of this?
Hmm.
And all that he's doing for us, he receives glory.
Amen.
It's not stated in here, but we know it from other sections, and he does a lot in here to keep all of us.
Yeah. Amen. He does it for his name's sake. It was one of the ones we looked at. Yes, this was one of those psalms of trust, and it's all about his glory. Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, God. Oh, you are great. Not just because of what you've done, but because of who you are. You created not just the heavens and the earth. They are wonderful. Lord, you created each and every one of us. May we never lose sight in our troubles who you are. May we look to you. May we look beyond the troubles and the struggles and look to the one who is above all and over all. Look to the one, Lord, who is always awake, always alert, always doing what is right. So thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. And it is for your glory we pray. Amen. Amen, church. If you pull out your prayer sheets with me, let's highlight a couple there before we break up and pray. If you know